The following podcast has been recorded live for your audio pleasure. It is rated M for Mexican. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mexi Mind Matters. I am your host with the most, Mexi Pants, coming to you live from Quarantine City, Columbus, Ohio. We are going to once again discuss how stupid can you be. What do I mean by that? What do you mean? Wait, Mexi, how are people acting stupid? Really, how are people acting stupid? We really think that forcing people to wear masks when they go outside 3 months into the pandemic is going to prevent us from getting sick. I get it. I get the concept of wearing the mask. I get what it does. It's kind of like when you're outside and you walk outside naked and everybody's naked and somebody pees themselves and then touches someone else. Oh, now they're covered in pee. Well, if you're wearing clothes, well, now your pants are the ones that are soaked in the pee that naked guy just pissed all over himself and touched you with. Now, if naked guy was wearing his own set of clothes and pants, then the pee would be contained in his pants. It's kind of how, that's the logic of the masks. That kind of, you know, follows that same pattern. But forcing people to wear a fucking mask, no. I've not worn a mask this entire time, gone to work the entire time, gotten paid the entire time, and rocked my socks off professionally the entire time. And here's what we'll discuss that portion also. But Governor DeWine almost forced us to wear masks. He's like, no, it's recommended. However, if you work in grocery stores, your employees should be wearing them since they have contact with blah, 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 blah. Okay, that I get. You choose to work at a grocery store, yes. If they're requiring you to wear masks, great. Guess what? My essential employee ass, my nice behind, is not being required. Why? Because I'm an essential employee for a law firm. Boom. There's literally three of us in the office at all times. And we stand clearly more than 10 feet apart. And there's Lysol and Purell everywhere. And unless you're having a meeting, you're not coming in. Oh, you want to get dispersed? Power of attorney. Oh, you want to sign up? DocuSign. For those who don't know what DocuSign is, Google it. You send forms and they sign electronically. Woo! Glorious times. No drama. I get a lot of shit done at work. They don't want me to work more than 60 hours? Great. I'm averaging 50 to 55, 10 to 12 hour shifts doing my job and everybody else's. But again, how stupid do we have to be? So some states open up bowling alleys. Really? Other states are about to open up retail stores as long as everybody wears a mask here in a couple weeks. But barber shops, hair salons, massage parlors, things I use. Oh, that state's closed. No, we can't have people cutting their hair. No. Which again leads me to believe, like, just to give you an idea, I wasn't going to pay $200 for another haircut. I already bought the fucking shavers for $100. What was I going to do? You know what? I can't have it anymore. I literally cut my own hair. And it looks as glorious as it did before. Which leads me to believe one of two things. Either the person that I paid $200 to cut my hair sucks, and my hairstylists suck, or I am as good as they are at cutting hair. At least my style of hair. I believe it's the second option. Which again, that is why these jobs are not essential. But if I was forced to be furloughed and stay at home and I know how to cut hair and everybody needs a haircut, supply and demand. Like if I knew how to cut everybody else's hair or if everybody else just wanted a buzz cut, oh yeah, I'd be charging $30 a hair Boom. Let's just cut your hair in the back lawn. But I'm actually making money. So, yeah. Speaking of making and saving money, please do not forget. I know most people are going back out here in a couple weeks. But do make sure you're covered. American National, make sure you bundle your life, auto, home. Get your high limits. It is not that expensive for premium. Use promo code MEXI and save on your bundling. American National, a proud sponsor of the MEXI My Matters podcast. As is Hand and Stone Massage. MEXI goes to the one in Polaris. You can go to Polaris, Dublin, or Blacklick, or anyone in the country. Use the promo code MEXI. Save on your first sweetest massage or your membership. If you sign up for the membership during the coronavirus, a free massage will be donated to an essential employee. Hand and Soul Massage, a proud sponsor of the MEXI My Matters podcast. And Super Studios 253. Sign up for online training and online classes. Work out with Team Super. Use the promo code MEXI and save on your class. Super Studios 253, a proud sponsor of the MEXI My Matters podcast. Now, how stupid do people have to be? And I'm just talking about how, and I can't believe my Lakers are going to be mentioned in this section. So we got people who are rallying and protesting, not 6 feet apart, but they only protest when the governor's on TV. We have people who are not social distancing, but they don't want to go to work, even though they're essential employees. I'm self-quarantining. We have the PPP loans that were supposed to be for small businesses, yet somehow nobody decided to monitor who was applying for these loans, and all the publicly traded and conglomerate companies, you know, the ones that gross more than $100 million a year, are applying for these loans and getting money. I read in the news, my Lakers received millions of dollars. And I can assure you, the Lakers are not a small business. The Lakers are possibly the best and richest franchise in NBA history, worth more than billions of dollars. There's no reason to give them 4 extra million. I'm almost tempted to say that was LeBron's idea to apply. Shake Shack, another place that applied for loans and, oh no, now we got caught, so let's give the money back. Yeah, no. They're forcing them to give the money back, so don't act. So let's not act. People are fucking sheep online. Oh, look, they're so nice. No, they're not donating charity money, which they could, because again, they're publicly traded and they make millions of dollars. If the Lakers wanted to donate $1 billion to everybody in the world in crisis, they could do so. But they choose not to. So it's not like people are doing this out of charity. The government is forcing them to pay that, give that money back, or suffer the consequences. And of course, they're paying the money back. So let's not be stupid and think, oh, they're being charitable. Let's not be stupid. How stupid are you that you allow just any schmo who has a company to dictate who gets the loan? Oh, who are these schmoes? The bank. Oh, yeah, bank. Chase, Bank of America, yeah, Wells Fargo, all you guys. You guys decide who's going to get the money. Yeah, who are they going to prioritize? Their customers. They're not going to give the money to actual small businesses if those small businesses have never been heard of before by Chase. And they're already getting sued. I'm like, how stupid do you have to be to make these things happen? The reason we have more deaths than anybody else, the reason people are still dying, is because in this country, people are that stupid that they don't take care of themselves. They're that stupid that when in a crisis, they would rather go to McDonald's and feed themselves than learn to cook food. What else you gotta do? You're sitting around doing nothing. Learn a new art, learn a new trade. Get an essential job. This should teach people and kids that your work is essential. If you do certain trades, learn these trades. It is okay to work at a grocery store. But if you're just going to be laissez-faire and not do your job, then yes, I get the right to mock you for working at a grocery store making $11 an hour. Why? Because I have an essential job and I know what I'm doing and I could do your job. But I have to do more important work. Yes, every so often the pandemic will come along and you will be very important to everyone else who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. I could care less. I have yet to go to a grocery store and not be able to buy what I want to buy. Most of the time, I don't even eat what's not what everybody else is eating and what's not in supply. Toilet paper, if you buy 3 sets of rolls in advance, guess what? You have enough toilet paper for months. I don't know why there still isn't any toilet paper in the stores. I don't know why all the stupid people are obsessed with toilet paper. You can't handle your kids? Oh, well, maybe next time cross your legs. Yeah, kids are not going back to school. Yeah. But anywho, let me focus more on my personal life. Hence, this is my podcast, Mexi-Mind Matters. If you don't like it, tune in to another podcast and a different channel. So people don't understand. You guys are free to listen to whatever you want during this pandemic. Funny how numbers have gone up during the pandemic. Interesting. But on the theme, again, of how stupid do you have to be, one of my coworkers, a case manager, who had a lot of potential, is literally possibly gonna get fired. All she had to do was work from home and actually work from home. What are people gonna track when you work from home? Because every company's doing it now. Oh yeah, now that they're getting money from the government and they're paying their employees, oh, and they have to attribute it to 75% of it has to be attributed to payroll. Oh yeah, they're gonna try and get you to work. Like, you work remotely from home? Yeah. Here, log in. We have tasks for you to do. My wife's job is making her this week watch 40 hours of nonsense training videos that she's not even going to use. But she's sitting there on the clock watching the fucking videos. Why? Because when you work from home, you're still supposed to do your job. It's not called fucking around at home and maybe getting paid for it. Oh, but that's what everybody else thought it was, including this employee of mine who, as we speak, is supposed to come to the office because now she has been banned from working from home because she cannot be trusted. Why? Well, because guess what? Our system tracks productivity. Everybody disses our system, but the one thing I do, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I hate our system. It's annoying, it's redundant, we do a lot of things over and over again, but it does at least allow to track how productive you're being. If I go from one screen to another, it logs it. If I make a note, it logs it. If I sniff on a file, it logs it. So, if you're using the system correctly, then it tracks everything you are doing. So, I obviously am very productive. They can verify that. This employee working from home was not only not taking phone calls, but then she was saying that she was clocked in at 8 o'clock in the morning. So you were clocked in at 8 o'clock in the morning and then worked until about 4. But then somehow, from the hours of 8 to 10, you did not take but 2 phone calls. Yes, our phone system also tracks how many calls you make and how many calls you receive. Shocker! So how do you explain that? Oh, interesting. So then my attorney started getting upset because we're not paying people to do nothing at home during a pandemic. We're essential employees. You should be coming to the office. We're not applying for this PPP loan money. Oh, then, because guess what? The intake people, oh yeah, the intake, one dude hasn't worked ever since the pandemic started. I'm not even sure if he's coming back. I hope not, because he sucks. But yes, he's not billing for whatever. He's done working. So, the other negotiator, Mr. Ken, we'll get to Ken here in a moment. Even though the salary, him and the office manager, they're still supposed to clock in and out. Remote in, clock in and out. Oh, it works for everybody else except Ken. It's not working. My remote in is not working to clock in and out. Yeah, it's called update Google Chrome. So you can update your cookies and clear your browser history because the payroll website got updated. So yeah, it works for everybody. So don't give me this nonsense. Basically, again, somebody who literally is doing nothing from home. And then they complain that they're being targeted. No. The system tracks productivity. If you don't make any notes and you supposedly handwrite your notes, unless you got pages and pages of notes of what you did, you're not doing anything. Ken has, as of now, 6 files settled. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But back to my coworker that's potentially getting fired. So, she's the case manager. There's only 3 of us. Well, 3 of us now. And even though I'm in the middle of negotiating and settling as well as case managing, you know, for 2 weeks, she had about 3 demands that she sent out. Then out of nowhere, it jumped to 14. I'm like, okay, great, no big deal. And yesterday morning, when I came in early to work, why? Because I had to catch up on things because somebody tried hacking our computer system, and I lost a bunch of spreadsheets. I had to recreate them. One of them being the escrow spreadsheet. What is that? That is every file that's currently in escrow because of a lien from a health insurance. One of the names on that list just happened to be a name that was on her demands that she had sent out on her one of her 14. I'm like, huh, did we sign her up again? Because she was a terrible client. I do not want this new file. And I looked it up. I'm like, wait, no, it's just the one case that we had from way back when. Wait a minute, it's an escrow. How can you send a demand on a file that's already in escrow? Huh, I didn't think twice about it. I'm like, I don't care. It's like 6 in the morning. I could give 2 craps, whatever have you. Well, here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. We pay someone, an attorney, only to review demands. And said attorney only billed 1 hour of work for this last pay cycle. Now, let's see. He reviewed 3 of mine. He reviewed about 10 of my other case manager, who is working from home and actually somewhat being productive. And that was it. So how did he review this case manager's work, who now at this point, by the time this was brought to our attention, now she's up to 21. So she went from 3 to 10 to 14 to 21 in the span of maybe not even 10 days. Well, wait a minute. So this obviously flags the office manager. And she goes in there and starts checking them one after the other. 3 of them she already got credit for 2 months ago. 2 others were closed. The one that was in escrow, and then all the others were like in different statuses. Because here's the thing, when you send it out to an adjuster, you have to flag the system and change the status and put it in the data field, all the stuff that was supposed to be done, the range that the attorney gives you when he reviews it. Oh, all of that was blank. So basically, the office manager realized, oh, she still has the same 3 as she did from 2 weeks ago. So what does she be doing from home? And I was asked about it as lead case manager. And I said, look, the majority of the time where I pay invoices, the invoices I'm paying are either mine or the other case manager's, not hers. She hasn't asked me to set up any liens. And I mean, hey, these records that she's gotten are from chiropractors. So they actually bring us the records. Nothing that, I don't think she's ordered anything that has actually physically come in. The office manager clearly track shit to try and get people in trouble. We have a history of that. And you're over here faking sending out demands. Like, if you're going to at least, and again, there's a difference between somebody saying they sent a demand, and then I get the file, and it turns out the adjuster never got it. Why? Because you guys are too stupid to realize you can't scan 100 pages and send in an email unless you change the resolution on the fucking scanner. And then I have to not only rescan everything, rewrite the freaking letter, because guess what? If you don't fucking fix it, and it's scanned with the package, I can't unscan a PDF page or remove a PDF page and turn it to a Word document. That's not how this works. I can turn a Word document to PDF, but not the other way around. So I got to rewrite it and do everything. And if you miss stuff, then yes, you should get credit for that, for resending something that was never received and had to be fixed. But when you're over there getting credit for something 2 months ago, and now you got credit for it again, and all you did was not follow up on the demand with the adjuster for 2 months. The adjuster says, I never got it. Oh, well, let me refax it to you. And then all you do is just resend the fax. Yeah, no, you're not getting credit for that. And the worst part is, this bitch tried blaming me like I said that was okay. No. As lead case manager, I've told you, if you take one of somebody else's files and guess what? You have to fix their demand and fix, you know, maybe something's missing, order stuff, rewrite the letter, then yes, if he already got credit for it, you should get credit for it because you actually did the job that was supposed to be done from the get-go. Or if you have somebody who tells you that these two files are nuisance claims, that means they didn't go to any treatment, and you ask for $2,500. But then it turns out, oh, wait, they did go to treatment. So now you have to actually do a demand? Yeah, you can get credit for that. I have yet. You know how many more demands out I would have if I was getting credit for every time I would refax one to an adjuster? It happens almost every fucking time. Oh, I didn't get the fax. Oh. How stupid can you be to not be able to pull off a fax machine all the pages? Well, I got all the pages except the last two. Really? So that means that my fax is an issue? It was one PDF. That means that whoever forwarded you the faxes didn't take out all the pages. But yes, I'll refax it to you. I mean, no, I would literally be blowing everybody way more out of the water than I am already. I have 20 this month, while still negotiating 36 fucking files. And I'm supposed to be the lead case manager. Oh, I'm sorry. It sucks that I know how to do the negotiating job better than the two old negotiators and the current negotiator. Right now, we have three people negotiating. Hillary, who is an attorney, Ken, and myself. I now have the luxury of negotiating my own files. So, what's going to happen when I negotiate my own files? Oh, I know them from beginning to end. So, I know what's going on. So, here is how this is going to work. It's going to be a lot easier for the person who's handling it from beginning to end to know what's up than other people jumping in halfway through and not paying attention or not wanting to work from home. I don't put it on the spreadsheet to get credit for it unless I know I literally just faxed it to the adjuster. And I use the general faxes, which I've taught people to do. But no, they don't listen. They want to use the regular fax. If you send it to an insurance company's general fax claims department, it has to be logged and processed and then sent to the correct adjuster. Yeah, it's going to take them a little bit more time, but you can guarantee that when you faxed it, it went to them. Especially during crisis time of coronavirus. If you're going to send something out, my entire field on that file on our system is filled out. So there's no question. Even if somebody tries to look at it like, well, wait a minute. I don't remember the attorney reviewing this. Oh, wait, no, yep, no. Oh, there's a note here. Client got a copy, blah, blah, blah. Yep, everything's hunky-dory. Great. So if you're going to cheat, at least know what the fuck you're doing. How stupid can you be? Then the worst part is, oh, we left them on there. Because today, as we speak, hopefully, if she came to the office, she's meeting with both my attorney and the office manager to explain herself. Yeah, the office manager printed off the February sheet showing that she got credit for two of them and three of them already. The one that's closed, oh, actually, I think there's two that are closed and one in escrow. Oh, yeah, what's happening there? And there was one that still says treating. Like, how idiotic do you have to be and then trying to blame other people? The worst part is she said, somebody's trying to sabotage me. Who? Nobody's in the fucking office. So, unless you're telling me our old ass 60-year-old lady who does the mail, the mail letters, who doesn't know how to use the system, tried to frame you in GrowPath, name of our system, or the attorney did it, or myself, yes, as I was in there watching you go from 3 to 10 to 14, I went in there and made up a bunch of files that you actually had, or have, and decided to just put names there to say that you send them out. Somebody is trying to sabotage me. Oh, well, here's the funny part. The funny part. If we only had access to a system that can log who's the last person to edit a file. Oh, wait. We can. We do. Oh, it logs it. So the office manager checked that before she started using that as an excuse. Oh. Yeah, you're the one that put those on there. She called the office manager a dictator 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, that's not gonna fly. And then you're supposed to turn in a timesheet. Hey, this is what I did throughout the day. And when you were turning it in, and it was basically stuff that anybody else could have done in a two-hour window, but you took all day to do it and are billing 40 hours plus overtime, you haven't ordered any records, and you somehow have three demands that we can legit account for. Oh, yeah, my attorney was pissed. He was like, no, we're paying her for the amount of hours we can verify that she actually worked. And he called her. It's like, no, you're bringing every single file. You're bringing the phone. You're bringing your keyboard. You're bringing your scanner. Bring everything back home, back from home to the office. And now, guess what? For the last remaining of the quarantine, you have to physically come into the office. Because we're not going to pay you to do nothing. How stupid do you think we are? And it's not the first time. This is why everybody who has come at me and said, why do we have a system that sucks? This is why. Because it at least tracks your productivity. If you use the system correctly, it will track what you do on it. So, all the old case managers that literally got fired or quit because they sucked. Yeah, they would have not been able to handle it. They all quit once we moved to the system. And the ones that weren't productive before, they got fired. We had somebody, same thing, now she works for Ohio Medicaid. Yeah, she used to work for us. She used to bring her grandchild, like we were some kind of kindergarten babysitting place, and just would have her chillax and just run rampant around the office. She would fall asleep during work, but yet somehow she took files home and she was billing 60 hours a week, even though she was pulling up maybe 4 or 5 demands a month. Same thing with What's-Her-Face, who tried to sue my attorney. Tried to sue for wrongful termination. No, you were basically a burden and made everybody miserable, and you were billing 80 hours a week working 5 to 6 or 7 when you were literally doing nothing. Your files weren't even open up the way they were supposed to. Everything was out of order, and you were putting up 3 to 4 demands a month. No. That's grounds for immediate termination. So I don't know what's going to happen with my recent case manager who's in this issue. But I will find out today, and I will gladly tell you next week how stupid she thinks she is. Or how smart she isn't that she thinks she is. Somebody's trying to sabotage me. Nobody's in the fucking office. This is the person who literally thought, oh, let me work at a law firm to get away from being a housewife. Oh, yeah, oh my God, coronavirus. I have 3 kids. I don't want to get them sick. We're coming to the office. Well, we're essential employees, so we stand 10 feet apart. Nobody's in the office, so what's the excuse now? And here's what drives me nuts, is that because my attorney sits next to me and sees what I'm doing, 20 demands out, and in my first full month of helping with negotiations, I have 36, the highest number this month, because the other two negotiators are not doing shit. The highest number, not only this month, 36 is higher than also any other month that the old negotiator and Ken have done this month. So Ken and Barbara, January, nobody put up more than 30. February, nobody put up more than 30. March, nobody put up more than 30. Oh, Alex only negotiated 2 weeks in March. Oh, now he has a first full month of negotiating. 30 fucking six. And to make matters worse, as of right now, mind you, we still have the rest of today to get stuff in. $585,000. More than $500,000 in settlement fees. That is not only the highest this year. That is the highest anybody's ever gotten all of last year. Because I went back and looked. Oh, yeah. The only time Barbara and Ken last year crossed the 500K threshold was December when Barbara had 535. So I'm beating that number by 50K. Ken never crossed 500. The last time somebody had this high of a number, you have to go back to August 2018. The month Barbara started, where Ken, after the old negotiator left, he had every file. He settled 72 for a little over $1 million. That is the highest so far ever. Why? Because he had all these files. Of course, the more files you have, the higher your number. That just is logical sense. I've been preaching that for years. Now that I'm settling my own, oh yeah. This is the highest number, 585,000, since that August of 2018. And I am not just negotiating and helping with it, I am also writing my own demands, case managing, ordering my own records and bills, and doing my intakes. While verifying escrow, Medicaid liens, and paying invoices and answering calls. Yeah. How stupid must you be? But stay tuned next week for the answer to what happens with incompetent coworkers at Mexi's office. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Let us know what you think. Rate, review, subscribe to the episodes. All the episodes are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, you know the deal. And as always, remember, ladies and gentlemen, where there's a Mexican, there's a way. Until next time.